right here, so. Oh, we talked it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, and Masters Week is finally here. Upon us.
5 months.
Well, it's historic, really, because it's the shortest time you'll ever have to wait for the Masters, unless there's another pandemic or another.
No, we don't want another pandemic.
Botch up of the schedule.
I know, we've been quite lucky with the golf, haven't we? Really, when you think about it, we've had. Since the Tour Championships finished last year, we've had just a number of golf tournaments up to the Masters, and now we're back again.
Well, we said last year, didn't we, this is going to be the record amount of tournaments on a PGA Tour schedule.
Yeah, busiest.
Plus, you've got your Ryder, you've got the Solheim, the Walker Cup, something
Olympics.
Else, I'm sure.
The Olympics.
The Olympics, that's it.
The Olympics, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Golf Central, mate. I'm looking forward to it. How are we, anyway?
Do you know what? Good, good. My week's been... Started from the bottom, now I'm here, sort of thing. My golf, like,
yeah,
lesson Monday, 89 on Tuesday, and then like 77, and then a little 75 yesterday, which was
lovely,
capped it off nicely.
A little bit of up and down with the odd handicap as well. Talk us through what happened there.
Yeah, yeah. Started well, it changes day to day, doesn't it? But like, started off 1.4, went swiftly up to two on the dot, yeah.
And so then, that'll be because it knocks off your eighth round, so then whatever was next, it's your eighth best.
It knocks off your 20th.
Right,
so if the 20th
sorry.
Is part of your best eight,
it's your best eight,
it can still affect it.
Right, yeah.
So, like, do you know what? Like David was saying, like, he's like, there'll be a lot of people who just, like, won't enter, or, like, it's nothing stopping anyone from just entering the score. Like, what Ronan was talking about, that sandbagging.
Right.
About getting your handicap up. You can also do it to get it down.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, has everyone in the world just turned into, like, honest, integral people overnight? Like, because, he's talking about it and he's looking and he's like, you can actually work out one day you're off one and you could, if you, one of your rounds goes and it's a good one, you could go up to 4, 5. And then if you didn't enter any of these comps,
would you know what your 20 rounds are and when you're looking to?
You can see on that. How did I do? Yeah,
can you? Yeah,
yeah.
So you know, like,
what's going?
I've got five rounds here where I can really not be that bothered because they're not really going to impact it. But then on that sixth round, if I don't perform, my handicap's going through
the
roof.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, one of the lads I phoned before, I won't name no names, but he was like... he'll be listening, you know who he is. And he was like, well, my last round was a 73 off the Blues. That's his 20th round. So if he shoots a score, that's going to go.
So his next best then becomes his eighth, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, no, his round that he shoots...
Will then become work out the average.
Yeah, his next best. Like, so if he shoots an 85 or something and knocks that one over gross off the Blues, which is a standard scratch when in the old system was like a 77.
Well, if his next best score is like a 77, that's not in that top eight, and that 73 comes out, that 77 goes in. That's four shots, isn't it? What happens
well,
there?
Well, it's more because off the Blues as well.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And that, the standard scratch off the Blues on the old thing is like 77.
You don't really realise it until we start playing in the competitions, what could actually happen.
It's crazy. Like, and I think they're working out. I think he could go up to 4. And he's entering all like mid-ams and different things like that. So it's like, even I was like, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm just going to play anyway and whatever. But just
see what
just,
happens.
But like,
it's quite volatile though, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
Because
yeah.
when you think about it in a general sense, you enter a tournament and there's a ballot of you need to be playing off 3 and you're playing off 2 when you enter it, but then by the time the tournament comes you could be up to 5
exactly.
quite quick.
Exactly.
Because that can happen, can't it?
Easily.
Whereas in the old system it was just a
point one
each time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but then as you say, it's volatile on the other way as well, so it should be more of a true reflection of form.
Ultimately, the best players are going to win the tournament, but I think the controversy is going to be
getting in.
Who gets in the tournament, yeah.
Well, yeah, look at this then. So say the Euro Pros round here, and you have to be off 2 to enter the Monday qualifiers, don't you? Like the amateurs can enter. Then, if I knew it was next week, I just wouldn't play. And I'd still be off 2 as of next week.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or if a player could go up and then I don't get in, and I'm like, that's a conscious decision I've got to make.
Yeah.
Or... what else I could do, right? I could go out at 5 o'clock And then, you know, I couldn't finish my round due to darkness.
Right.
And
yeah.
then I'm shooting. I've got a good front nine going, and then I get all passed with the back nine, and I come down to one or to scratch.
Yeah, we spoke all like, that, didn't we, on the show we've done.
So I don't like it.
It's going to be interesting. Shite. It is going to be interesting. You're not having it. So yeah. Is that because you've gone up to 2.0 or are you back down now?
It tests you morally, doesn't it? it's a stern test of
yeah.
like,
no, you're
honesty
right.
and integrity and like
yeah.
I can see man slipping at and all sorts. I said to David yesterday, I was like, look, my handicap's gone in my mind. Like now, I wasn't even looking at. Like handicaps, I was just shooting me scores, trying to play medal gross every time, and that's what I'm going
to
do.
That shocked me though, because that like from 1.4 to 2.0 is 0.6 in one round of golf. That is a lot.
You can move four shots in a weekend. It's madness.
Wow,
that's the most you can actually move. Depending on weather, depending on like all different how everyone else gets on.
It needed to happen if the world are doing it that way. But then now the question comes in: is this the right way to do it in this system?
I think the whole thing needs re-scrapping.
Doing again. Yeah. So what?
And
what,
the rules of golf are there.
We've touched on them. Yeah. What? So what happened after that? Then have you just because you had a couple of good rounds? You said were they competitions?
Yes. Both in competitions. Yeah. Yeah. 77, 75. No good. People flying in with 42 points and all that, you know what I mean? I have to shoot 600 to get that.
Yeah.
So I'm not there for that. I'm just there to
You were that guy last year though, playing off nine, shooting 72.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I let them have their time.
Yeah, definitely. No interest. And I've just come off the course now.
How'd you get on?
All right, yeah. Well, I went and seen. I haven't played in the competition yet. I've got my first tournament this Wednesday, the midweek medal. It was my first back on SNA. I had a couple of rounds with you, didn't I? Four v all.
Yeah.
And then just been practicing. So it was good, yeah. Howling.
I seen it.
30 mile an hour, snowing this morning.
I was going to get up and play and I thought, forget that.
You see this white jumper I've got on, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but when I turn up, when I've got a golf early in the morning, I'll check the weather to see if it's raining throughout the day to know whether it's put me brolly and things in. But I won't check like
temperature
and
no
things.
No way.
You don't
you
gauge off the...
No way.
Are you temp
I've
guy?
I've been that fool before. I have been that fool.
Well, anyway, I was foolish this morning, a bit rushed. We had an 8:40 tea time, so I looked out the window, the sun was shining, so I just put my polo t-shirt on with my gilet, got to the range, honestly, it was freezing.
Oh my God.
So then I was thinking, I can't go out and play like this, and I had no jumper, so I went into the shop, and I was like, Al, have you got anything that I can just cheaply throw it on the account, I'll pay for it, whatever. And he's like, these are all nice up here, like £95, £100. I was like, wow. I'm not paying all that, just I've got plenty in the house. So I found this one on the sale rack, so purchased this one and threw it on. It's all right though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Done all right. So played with DJ and I was three up with four to go. And ended up halving the match. Standard. This was the first time I'd tried the CBD on course, and not once did I feel nervous. I had no first tee nerves. You'd think I did have nerves when you see if you'd have seen where the first tee went, but no nerves at all throughout the day. It was a good first test of the gear. Have you been using it in your tournaments?
Well, yeah. Well, I was about to say that I had a couple of drops before it and I was chilled on the tee, and then as I was going down 16 or 17 on that 75, I thought I was two over, and I thought I was just playing the couple of holes in and just a couple of whiffs of the vape, yeah. And like, I didn't really realise it, but then when I think about it, I'm like, wow, that didn't have calmed me down. A couple of gummies after nine, like I've been having a strict routine on it, and it is actually helping me a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good stuff.
But I tell you what's not helping me, the Arcos, when you're just using it and you're just playing and you've got the wind, you've got temperature, you know, tells you what club to hit, the caddy. When you're in tournament mode, it's the first one I've really used
it
proper
changes.
Tournament mode, turn it off. It just gives you front, back, middle, and gives you a little map of the course, and you're just like, I'm on my own here. I was coming short, I was hitting it long, I was hitting the wrong club, I was like,
Oh, nightmare. You just need to get used to using it more, don't you? I see it as training you up to, so you know and you feel those wins, so that you're ready in a tournament.
You know what,
you get a gauge for that. Like that, well,
you need to know that it's doing that, because if you just rock up and you're like, when you're looking at the wind, say it's a 20 mile an hour wind and you're there and it's clubbing you up three clubs or whatever, and the temperature, then you need to remember the temperature, the wind, and three clubs, and gauge that.
That's what I mean. Get a gauge and a feeling for it.
But you've just got to make sure that you remember to do that instead of just relying on it.
Yeah, of course.
I've been relying on it, and then I'm standing there, I was like, it's 15 miles.
And you haven't been taken in.
I don't know what that means. I just know what it was telling me. Like, so now I need to be studying a bit more. So that's a good little tip to any of the Arcos users. That's what you should be doing.
Take it in so that when you can't use it in tournament mode, brilliant. But we've still got the discount codes for anyone who wants them. You've got Bogey Boys 15 for 15% off with the Golfers CBD, and Bogey Boys 10 at checkout for 10% off your Arcos.
That's it, man.
But yeah, so for my golf, really, I shouldn't have played today. It was just a last minute thing, got a call, tea time, and I hadn't played back at the club since we'd reopened yet, so I just wanted to get out there and play. But I went and seen David for a lesson on Friday, and he's got me working on some really good stuff. There was a lot that I wasn't doing right, but it's easy fixes as long as I put the timing on the range and hit the balls. Yeah, so as long as I'm doing that, and to be fair, I felt like on three or four holes I got it, and straight away just gives you that motivation to see what he was telling me was the right thing. So I know, moving forward, if I just stick with it, then me ball striking's going to improve.
Well, yeah. Well, on the Friday when I shot, or on the Thursday when I shot 89, or whatever day it was, I was trying it on every swing. And on the range, you can just hit another one, can't you? Yeah. It's another one embedded in.
Yeah.
I was doing it, and then you have to walk 30 yards and or forward, pick your ball up.
Yeah.
I was topping it. I was shanking it like it was every, and I was like, these should be fucking range shots, these, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Shouldn't be wasting them on the course, yeah.
No,
89 to 77 to 75 is good going, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. 69 was coming today, but it was a bit cold for that.
Yeah, no 69s in them weathers today.
A little update on the goat.
Yeah, Tiger update, something. Yeah.
And it gave me an instant erection.
Go on.
Saying he's ironing a return to action.
Yeah.
And I was like,
he's always going to do what Tiger Woods we're talking about, isn't
it? I know, but like, you know when you just hear it from him?
Yeah, hearing him say that.
Say that, like, he's every day he's working towards a return to golf. It's just like,
wow.
Wowza.
Yeah. Well, there's also been some news out there about the cause of the accident. They've identified what that is. The main contributing factor was a delayed reaction as to why the car left the road. So there's all sorts of rumours circulating now to say whether he was distracted or even asleep at the wheel.
Has anyone checked his phone?
That's what could have been arguing on the phone with somebody.
Looking at his phone?
Because they initially said, didn't they? Witnesses said that he left the hotel
angry,
in a rush.
Disgruntled.
Yeah, in angry. But I've seen a lot saying he was potentially distracted or asleep, but nobody said he might have hit something and knocked himself out cold. Like, he could have
bumped,
swerved, or
then
hit his head on the window or anything and knocked himself out, you know, and that's why that's happened. So it's going to be interesting, but friends of Tiger say that he's in good spirits, and as you say, he's focused on golf. But they've got the, it's like an aircraft-style black box.
Yeah, I was saying about that last week, that they were gathering that information.
And that indicated that he didn't hit the brakes.
It's mad that they've actually got one of them in that car.
Yeah,
it must be because it's an courtesy car, and you know, they lend it to someone in case someone
insurance
steals
purposes,
it or whatever.
Probably just an insurance, like an insurance box purposes, yeah. But that was
I picked
that
up
was
some convos, that, don't it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I think Tiger wouldn't have wanted one of them back in 2008 and 2009. When he's getting up to all sorts in the SUV.
No way.
But no, it's good to see that he's in good spirits, and we'll keep updating on his progress, but
100%, yeah.
Can't imagine he's going to be back anytime soon, but hopefully he is the goat, he is
just,
Tiger.
Yeah, just when that surface is with, like, he's got a little wedge or a putter in his hand, it's going to be like, ah!
It's like Christmas all over again.
Yeah.
But he's going to miss the Masters. He's not going. We said, were we going to see him at the dinner, but
he's not going.
He's not going. But
no.
Talking of the dinner, DJ's released his dinner. What do you think of it?
Just thought it was standard, innit? Like,
yeah.
I thought he was going to have the sandwiches because he was buzzing off the menu.
He was, yeah. So he's gone for lobster and corn fritters, steak, mash and veg, and peach cobbler, which is like an apple pie but with peaches in. Not too bad.
Any vegan options, like?
You wouldn't have got invited.
I can't have this steak, DJ.
Yeah, so what do you think? Nail it or bail it, would you? Obviously,
I can't eat it, but like,
a vegan alternative to that type of food.
I mean, if I was back in a few years ago when I was a carnivore, I'd probably would munch all that.
I would absolutely nail it myself.
In fact, you know what? I don't even like lobster. I don't know why I just said that. I'd eat the steak.
Yeah, you'd have the steak and mash. Yeah. But no, I'm looking forward to the Masters. We'll come on to that a bit later, but I just thought
speaking of peach cobbler, right? Because the Kardashians now are putting up pictures with the golf bag. Kylie Jenner, Kendall Jenner, Kim Kardashian.
Callaway have got hold of them.
Yeah. So my girl, she loves pink and her company's called Peaches, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's like,
yeah.
Are there any peach golf sets out there?
Uh-oh.
And can I get a bag like that with my name on it? And I'm like,
uh-oh.
Well, I just don't know how to answer this, but nah. I was like, when you're 40?
Yeah.
Like 40 is like a good time, and it's been playing with your bed. You can't play with your bed at 30.
You've only got 7 years left now, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's a good 7 years, though.
That's a good 7 years, yeah, I'll give you that.
But then at the once you go like past that 40, it's like, it'd be a good thing to, because like, then... They're with you then, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean.
So what is it that the Kardashians are doing? Are they just picked up
golf?
Well,
I seen Kim Kardashian was having lessons, wasn't she?
Yeah, I seen that a few weeks back, yeah.
And now they've all... I think we messaged them to come on the pod.
You probably did. You're at everyone, aren't you?
Hi, guys.
It's good, though. It's talking about a way to enhance the woman's game. There's no better...
No bigger influences, really, is there? Do you know what I mean?
Big words out my mouth, yeah, exactly.
So...
But talking about women in the game, the Rose Ladies series have announced that they're returning this year, and they've released the schedule. A couple close to home as well. They've got a tournament at West Lancs, Hillside, and Royal Birkdale.
Yeah, be a good one. West Lancs already there, isn't it?
Literally around the corner from where we are now. Yeah, so Hillside next to my track SNA, and you've got obviously everyone knows Royal Birkdale. So
been down. I have to go down and try and get a bag there. I've been a member there for 10 years. So I know this course out the back of my hand.
That's it. Yeah, any of you pros listening, women pros who are playing in them, we're local. So if you need a bag, give us a shout.
Message Charlie and say, tell your mates there's a couple of local lads looking for a bag.
No, definitely we'll help out where we can. Yeah,
might as well.
Definitely, yeah. And the only other news this week, it dropped. John Ram is a father. Kepa KL Ram. Congratulations to the main man. Yeah. Kepa Cahill Ram.
All right, congratulations anyway. But good time, because he said, I wouldn't want anyone to bet on me at Augusta because I could be leaving mid-tournament.
He'll be so happy, won't he? Obviously, healthy baby, healthy partner. Everything's gone well, and he can just prep now for the Masters.
That's it. I know, but like, do you think it's could distract him?
He'll just be on a high, won't he? I mean... He obviously lives in a different world than we do with the money and the lifestyle he has, but at the end of the day, being a father's being a father. I don't know. From my experience, the first 2 weeks is just a whirlwind.
Rory struggled, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
You know what I mean?
So. Rory's still struggling, isn't he? He had his baby in lockdown, didn't he? So we always talk about his form before the lockdown compared to his form since, and he has struggled. So yeah, maybe he will. He's not been playing... great anyway, as you
know,
really.
No, I know.
So it could be
because of them shoes that he wears, isn't it?
The whole clothing line. Not something that we're into. But,
not at all, but
yeah,
congratulations anyway.
Yeah, be interesting to see how we get on this week at the Masters, which we'll come on to as we conclude the show. Masters review. I'm so excited for it.
I know. It was a big week as well, and I got entry as well. The Grand National,
on Saturday. Yeah,
golf's back. Like, hopefully the weather turns around.
The weather needs to
flying, aren't we?
Yeah, get golf every day. Yeah, I'm gonna range tomorrow. First competition on Wednesday. Playing Thursday afternoon. Playing Friday.
We should. If you want to go to the range tomorrow, we should get the Bryson Challenge back out on the.
Shall we do
range,
it? Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
Bryson Challenge Part 2 on the range tomorrow.
Man,
let's do that. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Bryson, the Lady Bryson. Do you know Patty Tavatantakit's average off the tee this week?
No, go on.
323 yards.
She's a machine, you know.
Bomber, isn't she?
I expected, because she had a decent league going into Saturday and an even bigger league going into Sunday. I thought. Young girl, never been in this position before, started the season.
I know, but she has done. Remember the one to watch segment we done on her when she's won at 17 and she's won at 19, the Thai Open and stuff.
I mean, levels, you know what I mean? She's being chased by the best players in the world, is all I'm saying.
I suppose.
When you look at who's on a tail, Park, all the top players in the world.
Yeah, to shoot at
she just
15 pars, 68. To win by two, it's like it showed maturity and
no mistakes,
unbelievable,
no mistakes,
composure.
So relied on a short game when she needed to,
bombing it,
bombing it.
Like, and then
it shows it can be done though, because she's not She's a slim girl. She's not built like anything, is she?
No.
You know what I mean? So she's getting out there 320 odd yards for an average. That's unbelievable.
That's big, isn't
it?
Like,
it is big.
In the women's game, it's massive, do you know what I mean?
And this is where technology is going to enhance the women's game to the next level. Because, you know, the technology and the drivers and things. And
definitely.
If somebody like Patty can come along and win an Anna Inspiration in a second year on tour.
But as well, right, that's boss that they're catching up and then they're hitting it further. And it's whatever. But then they're trying to kneecap the pros, and it's going to kneecap these as well. You know, the distance debate and all that.
Well, this is it, yeah. And this is where they need to draw the line under and just back off from it now.
Like, I bet you the people that are saying they want to kneecap Bryson are buzzing that she's hitting it further.
Yeah, they will
be. Do you know what I mean? So
they will.
It's just a sort it out.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's interesting about that Patty as well, because she's moved up to world number 13 now. She started this season world number 163.
Yeah, well, she's obviously having a few good knocks then, isn't she?
She is, yeah. She on the drive-on championship, she had a poor finishing round, didn't she? She's one of the worst, I think 78, 79 to finish. And that's why in the back of my mind, thinking about that, and that was only a couple of weeks ago, I was sort of thinking, is this going to be one where
she fades off?
She's going to be heartbroken, where she's got a 5-shot lead going into the final round, and then she shoots a 78, 79 again and just blows it. But she never, she kept her composure, and, you know, onwards and upwards. Now we spoke to Sophie Walker, didn't we? And Sophie said,
she said it, didn't she?
This is one to watch. Sophie played with her at the US Open. Anyone on our socials will have seen the little clip that we put out, and Sophie's podcast will be out this week as well. Won 7 times in college. Even to win it, yeah. And then you mentioned on the one to watch all the credentials that she's got and what she's won. So
exactly,
yeah. She looks like she's gonna be around for a long time, and she's very young.
Do you know when Tiger used to come through the majors and he started knocking a few birds in, a few roars to get going, and he'd coming up the leaderboard like Lydia Ko was doing, like she 8 under through 10,
ridiculous.
And then like she goes on to shoot 10 under, like what, 62?
Tied the record, 62, so, yeah.
And then you think, if you see someone like that coming, you'd think she'd falter or get nervous, and just didn't, did she?
No, this is what I mean. Someone so young, it just shows how naturally talented she is, that she can just trust and rely on a game, because you get a feel style player. That's why Tiger's always been so good, because his swing's always been so pure. No matter what situation Tiger's in, he's relied on his swing and trusted the swing, whereas you feel players get a bit handsy or get something wrong, and they balloon one, and it's a double bogey. So I think with her, she swings it so pure and so good, and that statistic, what you just said there, blows you away, doesn't it? 320 odd yards.
Well, on the weekend, she hit 21 or 28 fairways, so she's long and accurate.
Wow.
And she only missed 11 greens all week.
It was a flawless performance.
Exactly,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
No other way to describe it. It was unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
But another friend of the podcast we mentioned, Charlie Hull there, she had a very good showing as well.
She did. Disappointing weekend, yeah. Disappointing weekend. Started 69 and was contending a couple back going into the weekend, and then I think was at a 71, 72 or something over the weekend, and just faded off. Tied 14th she finished, didn't she?
I know. I thought we were going to have to jump on her toes and be like, well, you did promise us the first interview after the major, so and we've seen you talking to Sky Sports there, so we're going to sue you.
Yeah. Yeah, get on our podcast, yeah. But, she's still the top-ranked English player in the world.
Sick.
So, Mel Reid's catching her. I don't know, Mel Reid had an amazing...
She finished at third 14th as well, Mel
Mel Reid, she finished well. I think she had a poor Sunday last week, or was it the week before, I can't remember. But she was up there after the first couple of days as well, when MB Park...
Well, Hall was up there as well, like this week, and then she just faded off as well, didn't she?
She had a bad Saturday, I think, 5 over or 6 over on Saturday she had. Yeah, but even Charlie Hull, she made a triple bogey on the third hole on Saturday.
Do you know what I mean?
And it just kills your confidence, but then she just went on a birdie streak, and then she was a bit disappointing on the par fives. Otherwise, it could have been a very different tournament. I know in the end, winning at 18 under, she it was 16 under. No, 18, wasn't
18,
it? Patty won, yeah. So quite a way back at 7 under.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Still positive, though, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I honestly really, really enjoyed it, and it... it was good the way it was televised, because you had the Valero Texas Open.
Well, you
Open.
Said, what are you going to watch? And I said, I'll flick between the two, and that's exactly what I've done.
Yeah.
You well, that's mean? And then you could, when it went off, it'd still bring back a few highlights, wouldn't it, when once the PGA was on? And,
that's it, yeah.
And then it'd be on again afterwards. I like the way they done it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think I really enjoyed that. I don't know whether they've done this on purpose, but they seemed to tee off a bit later on the Sunday. So when the Valero had finished, and we'll come on to that next.
It, you could still watch the
Arnold Inspiration was on until 2 a.m.
Exactly. Did you see, do you know Georgia Hall? Do you know, I think it might be her birthday next week or this week, because I think she's named after Augusta, because it's in Georgia. No, I actually think that's true, you know.
She was named after Georgia, the place.
Yeah.
The state.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fact checking that for 100%.
You got no trust. You got no trust, man. A dad's a golf fanatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll fact check that.
Let's
anyway.
Fact check that, yeah. You let's know. Fact check that. But we just mentioned it there, the Valero Texas Open.
Yeah, well, Jesus wasn't the only person that was resurrected this Sunday, was he? Like, Jordan Spieth was back.
Rose from the dead.
Wow. I can't believe he was losing his tour card a few weeks ago. I mean.
What were we thinking? We did, no, you did we say at the point.
It into, yeah, into context. Into context. Like, it's not unheard of. It can happen.
Yeah. No, it could. Yeah, and like, he was going that way. He was going. You only have to look at the way his season went. So, We look back to his prime years. So he had his first victory in 2013 at the John Deere, didn't he?
Yeah, so 13 through what? When did he win? Didn't he win a major in 17 as well, though?
He won the Open in 2017. That was his last victory, but it was from March 2016 and 17 where you sort of got glimpses of him not. Because even when he won the Open, there was a couple of drives he ballooned onto other fairways and then he chipped over. And although it was
super bogeys and that, I remember.
Yeah, so it could have went either way. But 2013, he won at the John Deere, and we all know he was ranked 120 in the world, I believe, at that stage. And then he got to a point where he spent 26 weeks at world number one.
That all?
Yeah, 6 months, yeah.
It's mad, and I felt like he was up there for longer.
No, it was just such a sharp rise to fame because he was so young. But then, again...
He won three majors in quite quick succession, didn't he? Like 15 months or something mad.
Yeah, because we were all talking, wasn't we? I don't know the numbers exactly, but we were all talking about specifics on him beating Tiger's record, and he's got off to such a good start at such an early age. Because I think he did beat Tiger's record for being... You winning so many at an earlier age.
Yeah, well, I remember, like, because we were talking about Morikawa, and we were saying, oh, like, next Tiger. And then, like, every time Greg Evans listens to the podcast in Australia, he will send me a load of voice notes. And he's like, what are you on about, lad? Morikawa being the next Tiger. He's like, they all try and be the Tiger. Spieth was the next Tiger. Look what happened to him in there. He's like, shut up, ever saying that again. And I was like, oh,
no one's
okay,
the next
sorry,
Tiger.
Sorry, Greg.
no one's the next Tiger. No, definitely not.
No, he's right.
But then you look at his last win, the Open 2017, and then it was at the end of 2018, he went down to 17th in the world.
What, his last win ever was that Open?
Before this week, yeah. That was his last win, yeah. So then 18, it was the start of his decline in form. He went down to 17th in the world. And then the following year, at the end of 2019, he went down to world number 44. And in July last year, he saw himself move outside the top 60 in the world for the first time since that first win 7 years ago. So he was 120th in the world when he won the John Deere in 2013 and then stayed right in the mix, world number one, doing what he was doing, winning all sorts. And then it was only last year that he moved outside the top 60, and that's when the talk started. He hasn't won for 3 years, he's outside the top 60, he's missing out on all the WGC events. And then this season... We spoke, didn't we, a couple of weeks back? Was it Patrick Reed one? The Farmers Insurance, was it? Was it the Farmers?
I think so.
Yeah, so the Farmers Insurance, we spoke, didn't we, playing with Phil Mickelson, and he was 4 under with 12 to play, and he finished 4 over and missed the cut on the button, didn't he, Jordan Spieth?
And then Mickelson made a few birdies, and he was like calling upon, he was saying you should call upon the same memory, ask Mickelson what he'd done.
It's birdie, Mickelson finished, and then he obviously progressed in the tournament. And from that moment, like, that must have been the switch room where he thought, I've got to 400 in the tournament, I'm competing, and I've just had a bad 12 holes. I've still got it.
Well, everyone knew he still had it. Like, he even said himself, he hit tens of thousands of balls working on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So he had to hit tens of thousands of balls to get him the other way, back to where he was. And, like, that's the scary thing. So, like, so say what we're doing with David. We put trust in him, we're hitting the balls, and we're working on what he's saying. We're putting full trust in his knowledge. And David's been teaching for, like, 10 years, and his knowledge is very good. So who is teaching him has got hold of the world number one golfer, major champion, and teaching him the wrong things?
Yeah.
Like, who done that?
No, like, idea.
And who's letting that happen?
Yeah. It's exactly. Like,
who are these
but
people?
Was he working on the wrong things fundamentally in his swing, or was it his... Do we know whether he
was
working
swing change,
on... It was swing, yeah.
And it's something to do not to... Like, he even went... Can't remember who he was working with, but then he went to Butch Harmon to have a look, and then he said something else. I think he was with Butch, and then he went to someone else, and then he asked Butch again, and then he went... I read an article on it anyway.
Yeah, and no, you're right, though.
He said, I've hit 10,000 balls the other way, and that's just the end of it.
You're right, though, because, you put your trust in somebody. You're not a PGA professional coach, but you know the swing enough to know if somebody's sort of leading you in the right or the wrong direction. But if you've got put your trust in somebody who's telling you fundamentally this is the right thing to do, and you spend so much time doing it, you only know that you're not doing the right thing when somebody else at an elite level comes and tell you, no, that's wrong for these reasons. And I think is that what you're getting at? That's what's happened.
So yeah, well, definitely right. And then I watched this other thing. I sent it to David, actually, where Tiger's chipping, saying he hits this draw chip where he flips his hands like across like that.
Yeah.
And then another one where he hits a cut chip. And I remember you saying, as long as you're swinging out and
out to out.
Out to out. So then Spieth was like, well, what I do, I chip. I'm always trying to like cover the ball, and everyone thinks I'm wristy, or Mickelson's wristy. And he doesn't, like, they don't. They use the same technique. They're actually to the hinge and hold method.
Yeah.
That threw the ball. And then Mickelson actually came up to Spieth, and he's like, you're one of the only people on tour that I know that uses the same chipping method as me. And that's the same chipping method that David teaches as well. So he's like, David, like, I'm buzzing that it's the same as what Tiger's saying, the same as Mickelson, the Spieth, and he's like, what David brought that method on himself, sort of thing, of the knowledge that he's gathered. So
yeah,
it just helps you put a bit more trust in what.
Same way I chip. I'm David, the same as them.
You do it as well, exactly. Yeah,
we're all the same. Me, yeah. Phil Mickelson, Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods. We're all the same.
Oh my god.
we go back to our Jordan Spieth appreciation. I mean, I've been saying it for weeks. You've been saying it for weeks. It is coming. You know, yeah. And
well, I said last week, didn't I? Mark my words, he will win multiple times this season. Did I?
Did you?
Or did I say he's losing his card? Can't remember. One or the other.
Let's move forward.
One or the other. Give or take a few.
One or two, yeah. But go back to a couple of tournaments ago. Leading the Waste Management, finishes with a 72, tied fourth. AT&T in contention going into the final round, shoots a 70, tied third. In contention going into the weekend of the Genesis, 73-71, tied 15th. And in contention at the Arnold Palmer, shoots 75, finishes tied 4th. So there, that's four events since the Farmers Insurance where he's not been outside the top 20, and three of them have been inside the top 5.
Exactly.
And what did we say about Rory pre-lockdown? Rory had like 5 tournaments in the top 5 and won one.
Exactly.
So it just shows you, like, you
maybe
know if
maybe Spieth's got off his phone.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's what it was all about.
Maybe,
but it was
Spieth's got on that book.
Well, you talked there about it in tens of thousands of balls. Did you hear his speech after?
You know what? I sat there and I watched it and I listened to it all, but I was well oiled at the time, so I don't remember a thing that he said. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Easter Sunday Coronas, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was an emotional hug at the end with his wife in tears and whatever, which is expected.
It's the first win since he's been married, isn't it?
Yeah. So he was saying, like, he just turned around to his wife and said, look, this is what I need to do. There's going to be late nights
longer
because
days,
I need longer days.
Yeah.
I need to get myself back to this. So, and he was like, he gave a good little speech about how supportive she's been and like everything that's going on. And it just shows you that, like, in order to get back to where he needed to be, he needed to put those long days and his long hours. And now we've got him back to where we think he should be. 38th in the world, back in the top 50 finally, back in all the WGC events that we said that he's potentially going to miss when we said he was going to lose his card.
Well, exactly, yeah. But, like, wait, when you've got 3-4 full seasons there where he's winning every year, he's winning majors, he's world number one, he's obviously got it, do you know what I mean? So that it's a big drought, isn't it? 83 starts. That's what, yeah, that's how many tournaments he's played. And then, what, 3 years and... 3 years, 255 days it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not so, nearly 4 years, yeah.
But one good thing, well, not one good thing, but a good thing, whereas this course that they were playing, it's, you have to be in position and then you have to be missing it in the right spots, and it's like a second shot sort of golf course, so it bodes proper well for the Masters.
Yeah. He loves the Masters. How many times has he been in contention there?
Exactly.
Honestly, I hope you should see where he is on the odds as well to win. I think he's like third favourite now.
Yeah, 10-1.
Is that what he is? 10
yeah,
to well, 1,
that's
yeah.
That's what I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, 10-1, third favourite. But just some statistics on it. You know Jordan Spieth's going to be in contention and going to win tournaments when he's got that putter working. Yeah, because if you look, at him, he missed 30 greens. So he was 57th in greens in regulation, and he only hit just over 50% of fairways. He was 49th, but he was 6th in strokes gained putting for the week.
That's it. So once that's hot, it's like anyone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyone's putter's hot.
But that's always been the strength. He's never been a good driver, really.
No.
Iron player, but his short game has always been, like, unbelievable.
That's it.
And I feel like he's getting back to that, where he just stands over a putt and he can't miss. Yeah. And when you see him rolling those 15-footers in, it's where you get the fist pumps and it's where you get the blood flowing, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
I just hope we see it this week at the Masters.
Well, I do and I don't.
Go on.
Well, he's not getting in my picks. I'm not going to put any money on him. So, like, I hope he does well because, like, I like him, but I don't really. I hope other people do better.
Thinking about yourself.
There was a thing there, and I was watching an interview with someone, and there was like a 3-minute. Thing of Spieth talking to his caddy, like walking and all clips on the telly, and they reckon the caddy says like 3 words in the whole thing, and Spieth's like talking about this and about that and about this,
getting things off his chest,
okay, sound or whatever, and he only says 3 words, like, because you see how much he talks, Spieth.
Yeah, he's full of it,
goes on, doesn't
yeah, he's full of life, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's what I mean. He seems like a really bubbly character, doesn't he? Especially on the golf course. That's why it was so hard to see someone like that struggling,
yeah,
because
you need, like, golf needs a little
yeah
speech,
you
it,
do yeah. 100% need them. Another guy from, obviously, now that we've sorted Spieth out and Spieth's on the straight and narrow, we need to turn our attention to Ricky Fowler now.
Oh my god. And another thing, it's putting as well. 11 and or 12 and 13 season first, strokes gained putting first, 13 to 14 strokes gained putting like 10th, 14 to 15, and then he was like 70th, 15, 16, like, and then he was go, and every year he's worse. Now he's in the hundreds.
Wow.
And like,
is that what it, is that Ricky Fowler's dance was putting? Is it? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's, that's just one.
I know
one,
he went. I know he went
factor.
Through a swing change. And he's changed the fundamentals of his swing. Well, and we all know how dangerous that can be. Because look, Kyle had done the same, didn't he?
Look, what we'll do is we say, Ricky Fowler's in danger of losing his talk, are you?
I think he is. That's what I'm getting at, yeah.
And then hopefully he listens like Spieth does, and then he'll...
Well, he's not in the Masters, is he? This is the first time he's missed it since 2010.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, he started with an opening round 76, so he was looking on missing the cut, and obviously he's had a good turn to form, 68, 69 and 70 to finish tied 17th, but I didn't know that about his putting. It'd be interesting to see, and I'll have a look at this. He's open with a 76. How has putting changed from Thursday through the other 3 days where he's shot lower scores, to see if it was his putter?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see that, yeah. But couple more mentions for the Valero then before we move on.
Big Charlie's got to get a mention.
Charlie, yeah, what a guy.
75 first round. Yeah. He did the last on Friday to make the cut.
Yeah.
And then makes the final group on Sunday.
Yeah, nobody beat him for those 3 days, Friday, Saturday,
I'm
Sunday.
I'm sure I've picked him in the Bogey Boys League about 10 times as well. And every time he's knobbed it around the place.
He's one of them players, he just turns up from time to time, but I think.
I was looking at his form there, he's a 5 top 5, 7 top 10s and 12 top 25s.
Amazing.
Over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, he's one of them players, he just pops up and just, I think.
It's the putter again, isn't it? He gets hot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Charlie Hotman.
And Charlie Hoffman, another one. He's not going to be there at the Masters.
Oh, is he not?
No, he's outside the top 50 in the world, and he's not It's not got an invitation through any other routes that you can get through.
No way.
So another missed Masters for Charlie Hoffman. Just before we move on, I just want to mention Matt Wallace.
Yeah.
Another good showing. Very good this week, close to winning. It was tied for the lead with Spieth going into the final day. They all teed off together. I just think his temperament got the better of him.
Yeah.
There's a couple of times I've seen him where he did bad drives, slammed his driver and just...
He's a bit like that, isn't he, though?
Well, he was on that Angry Golfers show, wasn't he, with that European tour done with Tyrrell Hatton and things. So yeah, it's wasted energy, isn't it?
Definitely.
You know, I just think sometimes your temperament can get the better of you.
Don't you? Your temper's the only thing you can't get rid of by losing it.
Oh, yeah. That took me a while, lad. I was like, what?
That's off anger management, that.
Is it the film?
Yeah.
losing your temper.
One person I wanted to mention there was Sam Bennett.
Never heard of him.
He's a junior at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And he got his spot from when he won the Cabo Collegiate with a 67 final round.
This week?
Yeah, this week, yeah.
The Texas Open, yeah.
Texas Open, yeah. So, yeah, basically, he's got a tattoo on his arm, right? Saying, like, don't wait to... Right, just there. Saying, don't wait to do something. And it's in, like, mad writing. And it says Pops on it. So his dad died, got diagnosed with something. And his mental state proper deteriorated. And, his brother's on the bag. His brother's been to rehab a few times and stuff. And his other brother's been to rehab, like, bad on the drugs and stuff. And, yeah, he's got that on his arm, like, and he's proper turned his life around, to his dreams, like, to play on the PGA Tour, even if it's just once, do you know what I mean? And now, so he's made it onto there.
Wow. How old?
I think he's only young, but he's a junior. I don't know how old juniors
are. Oh.
He won the Cabo Collegiate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he won that, and then, yeah, it's just a boss little thing.
That's a boss story, yeah.
I've got a picture of the thing.
How did he get on this week?
Not too sure how he got on. I forgot, just because I've done this, my notes on... When I seen it on Thursday.
Brilliant.
And I forgot to check how we got on, but...
Yeah.
It's...
good story, that.
Just a nice little story, yeah.
Sam Bennett.
Just a Sam Bennett.
Yeah, keep an eye on Sam and see how he gets on, yeah. Jordan Spieth is back in business.
It's good to see him back.
I know, it's amazing.
It is.
Interesting to see how he goes this week, because he'll be on a massive high, won't he, now?
Well, exactly, yeah.
You know, that gives him his comfort that he needs. 38th in the world, as I mentioned earlier.
That is good.
So, obviously, it's back in the top 10 soon.
Could be back at the summer, couldn't he, soon? Like, yeah. You can't rule anything out, really, can you, if they're in that sort of form?
No, definitely. So, congratulations to Patty and Jordan for your wins. But as we move on to that time again, I'm going to explain to you why it wasn't such a happy moment for me.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie boogie bust.
Birdie time. Right. So, my birdie for this week, keep it simple, Masters week.
Right.
Obviously, we've just given Jordan Spieth a lot of praise, but let's be real. It's Masters Week.
Yeah.
There's no better birdie for that, for me.
Well, I could argue that my interview that's coming out with Today's Golfer in the Masters issue of it is better.
Is that confirmed?
What?
Is that confirmed? It's coming out this week?
Yeah, he emailed me saying, we'll bring your issue out the week of the Masters. I'll send you the copy.
Wow.
So
that is a good birdie.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Well, you could have done it as well, like, but you turned it down. You just forget to say in your arches on it.
It's not for me. It's not for me, newspaper ads, because I'll stick to my podcasts.
Yeah, that's it.
No, brilliant stuff. Obviously, not only did we have Masters Week, we had the Ladies Amateur, so it was good to just see how Augusta was for the week. It's so much greener than it was in November. The greens were rolling superb. And just as a little mention to the Ladies Amateur, I don't know if you've seen any of it.
I watched a little bit of it, yeah.
They had a bit of highlights, but it was good, wasn't it?
No, it was good, yeah.
It
took its toll on them, though, didn't it? Because there was only 3 under par, and in the end, none of them.
Well, the Rose Kang, she made it 8 on 13, and we mentioned it a couple of weeks back, an amateur. She's studying in America at the moment.
Yeah.
She's an American girl, but she's definitely one to watch, an amateur to watch. She's winning all sorts in the collegiate scene
at
the moment, and she was the one I think she was 2 under, and she made a treble bogey 8 on 13, the par 5. And then, she just never recovered from that.
Killed her. Well, the youngest person in the field won it. You know that?
Oh, was it? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Tsubasa Kajiranti.
Oh, yeah. Say that again.
The youngest player in the field won it.
Yeah. Well played. No, but it was good to see Augusta, and to, it was good just to see women at Augusta.
Well, yeah. No, of course.
Go on, what's your bogey then?
My bogey is me bird wanting golf, peach golf clubs. So my bogeys is the Kardashians playing golf.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, for personal reasons. It is positive, but like, and even like my bird wanting to play, it's a positive as well. Do you know what I mean?
It's interesting. It's interesting that we're both taking our bogeys personal this week, because mine is, we mentioned earlier, the Rose Series are playing at Royal Birkdale, Hillside and West Lancs, which are three local courses.
Yeah.
You've got the Stayshore PGA Senior Championship being played at Formby, and nothing played at My Track SNA.
But the Euro Pro at Formby Hall, you know.
Is the Euro Pro Formby Hall this year?
Yeah.
So
there's always a Euro Pro Formby Hall.
Is there?
Yeah, it's a championship venue, mate.
No, so that's my bogey, yeah. It's like. Where's all the professional tournaments at SNA?
It's a tough venue, isn't it?
Unbelievable course, so. Yeah. What's your bust?
Well, I'll let you go first, because I'm just going to agree with your bust, I think.
Oh my God, can you believe it's happened?
As soon as I seen it, they're both at the top of the leaderboard. I texted and I saying, you should be entitled to some money there.
I know. So we didn't put. Did we post this bet out at all? I don't think we did because it never won. So when the Drive On Championship was on, and I think what tournament was it? Was it the Waste Management at the same time?
Yeah.
I can't remember that Jordan Spieth was playing. It was one of them anyway. So I bet on Patty Tavatanakit and Jordan Spieth each way to win. It was a £10 each way bet, and if it would have won, I would have won £45,000.
Oof.
So it was the one that I spoke about earlier. Patty shot a 79-78 in the final round, and that because of that, she didn't place.
But Jordan Spieth placed.
And because I had an each way bet, I would have got some money back, a couple of thousands, if they'd have both placed, because the odds were so good, because I got Patty at like 150-1. And then this week, obviously, I don't back that because I only backed it as a one-off. They both win on the same week.
Oh my God.
What are the odds of that? And like, I didn't back it.
I don't. Obviously, you wouldn't have been getting 45 grand because they...
No, yeah.
I think you would have been getting in the 20s, I reckon,
Jordan,
30s.
Jordan was one of the favourites, so I got him at 28-1. Well, I probably would have only been getting about 12s, maybe, 15s, whatever, 16s. Yeah. And Patty, I wouldn't have got 150-1 for her, no, because she'd move quite...
But forget the money, obviously you can't forget the money, but even just to call... To have them two on your bet, who were obviously in current form a couple of weeks ago, and then you said, Spieth's doing, should be playing, like last week you said on the podcast, Spieth should definitely be playing this week, and DJ should take a week off, and then DJ withdrew, and then Spieth wins, and it's just like, has Lockhart just become a golf pundit? Like,
what's going on?
He's getting good at this.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm actually getting good.
You're fucking shite in the other America.
But I've always been like that. I do a football one, Premier League football one, and I'm always bottom of that league. So I think I'm just cursed with the fancies, and obviously I'm cursed with the betting as well now.
Oh, yeah.
It's like we said, with what you mentioned there with the Spieth situation, that is why he needs to play in those events. I know Masters means so much, but now he's in the top 50.
Is he peaked at a week early?
Does it matter though?
Well, I'm just, of course, yeah, if you've peaked, then you go back down.
No, but his target in his mind is not win a major this year.
He's not happy. Not
this year. No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Why?
His target.
I think he want to win every time he tees it up.
The fall from grace. He's like, come on. He's gone from world number one to being outside the top 60 in the world, hasn't won a tournament for nearly four years.
I think every single time, or the 83 times that he's teed it up since his last win, he's fully believed that he was going to win it.
I don't know. I think he's probably got a bit of a different mindset. We'll have to agree to disagree on
that. When we get him on, we'll ask him. Seems that we've helped
that
him so
sounds
much.
Good, yeah. Seems that we've given him that kick that he needed. Yeah, so that's the birdie bogey bust for the week. So I assume you're
that's
agreeing
my bust
with the bust.
As well, yeah, that is my bust.
Unbelievable. I mean, yeah.
Well, my
to
bust
pick
was
them
gonna,
to
my...
pick them both to win and on the same week as well, it's just killer. Crazy, isn't it?
Well, my bust was going to be like how good you called it all. Like you were like DJ shouldn't play with Drew and then Spieth. That was going to be my bust. Like you were getting too good at your job.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment, I think.
Well, it was. It is.
Yeah, so on to our Ryder Cup segment. As always, we move briefly on to the 1967 Ryder Cup.
It's quite fitting that it was in Texas.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. The Champions Golf Club in Houston, Texas.
Major, major controversy. Like, if Jack Nicklaus, seven-time major champion.
Oh, my God.
Still no appearance.
But you know he could have played.
Ah, could he?
Yeah, he just never qualified.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
So, it was 1961 was when he officially became a member of the PGA. So, it was 5 years before he could start earning Ryder Cup points.
Yeah.
He won the 66 Masters. And then from there, his form dipped.
Ah, did it?
So, he then, going into the Masters in 1967, I think he was 13th in the Ryder Cup standings. And at this point, there's no captain's pick. So, it was literally only the people who finished in the rankings played.
Ah.
So, he missed the cut of the 1967 because he won it in 65 and 66, Jack Nicklaus, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 67.
Well, don't you remember? Yeah,
what?
Doing, I was like,
oh, consecutively
back to back in 65 and
yeah,
that's great,
brilliant, man. That, yeah. So yeah, and then 67, he missed the cut and then didn't perform well that year. So if there was a captain's pick, he was playing, but there was no captain, so he actually just didn't. He just didn't meet the criteria.
That's why you need the captain's pick, because you've got a seven-time major champion there sitting on the bench, and you want him in your squad just for knowledge and to talk, and you just do you know what I mean?
And Ben Hogan, captain, he wouldn't have not picked him
exactly. Yeah.
he knows his stuff, but it didn't stop the USA handing it to them again.
Pulled us again,
23.5 to 8.5,
and they had five rookies USA.
Yeah,
again, and that. As you said four was a big amount last week.
And now there's five.
And now there's five rookies and they're still pulling us.
It's ridiculous. I wonder what's going on. It seems to be every time they go back to America, it just gets harder. Are they still travelling over on the boat?
I think they're walking it.
I'm tired,
one of the players on the Great Britain team, Malcolm Gregson, I've played with his son a few times. He's a member of Formby.
Oh, Matthew
Gregson.
Yeah,
player himself.
We're talking about rookies. The GB team had three rookies. One of them, Mr. Tony Jacklin.
Yeah. 23. But like this, one of the rookies on the American team, Gardner Dickinson, 40.
Must have just had a good season and got in the top, whatever.
Yeah, well, I suppose,
As it just goes on the rankings, doesn't it? If you had a good season, you get in. That's just the way, similar to now, but obviously it's a lot more competitive in the way the points work.
Well,
it's not as simple. But Tony Jacklin, was it the 69 Ryder Cup when they had the concession?
Next week.
Jack's first one and Tony Jacklin's second one.
It's mad that Nicholas is doing things like that in his first ever one, isn't it?
That's what I said to you. There's got to be something there, hasn't it?
Yeah.
There's got to be a bit of fuck you. You've not played me for so long, and you think I'm just going to make them. No, let's take a half. Let's go. Yeah,
definitely.
But at least we know the result of the next one. We know that we don't get pummeled.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's all I've got on the 1967 Ryder Cup. Yeah. Right. Quiz time. I've saved the quiz time for the Masters quiz.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But I've only got three questions. So, first question. What is the hardest hole at the Masters tournament statistically? So, before you answer that...
Statistically or on the scorecard?
Well, it's funny you should say that.
You know, because I remember I've been and I've...
Well, it's funny you should say that, right? Because on the scorecard, there is no stroke index.
Ah.
Right, and that's the point of the question. So, the club have never actually allowed the Georgia State Golf Association to rate the course, so there's no official stroke index at Augusta. So, there's no way of knowing which hole is the hardest. So the only way...
You just have to go on statistics.
Have to go on the statistics. That's why I said statistically, yeah.
Ah, nice.
So, there's something... I mean, we can fact check this properly, but... Because I couldn't quite get my head round it, but the way I read it was the handicap system for members is based on how many pars you make. So if you made 10 pars, your handicap would be 8, because they'd just take 10 off 18.
What the fuck?
I know. So what if you had 8 birdies in the other holes?
What if you had 8 triples?
This is it. So I will have to fact check that, but there's something different about, you know what it's like with the Augusta, trying to be different. But so back to the question, statistically, what is the hardest hole at the Masters tournament? Is it A, the 10th hole, 4.31 scoring average, B, the 11th hole, 5.31 scoring average, or C, the 12th hole, 3.31 scoring average? So amen corner, which one's the hardest, 10, 11 or 12?
10.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what, if you didn't give me them statistics, I was going to say 10 anyway.
Was you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is 10, 4.31. It's rated the hardest hole. Eight players have had a 2.
Oh dear. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it all, but it all got its curls
if
in.
If you
though,
catch it, good. Yeah, yeah. It curls in towards the water. Do you know what the highest score was on the hole? And 10. Who got it? What?
10.
No, no. 9.
Oh.
Danny Lee.
Oh yeah, remember that?
Danny Lee. Yeah, yeah, made a 9 actually, on there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. So next question: what is the biggest Sunday collapse in Masters history? Now, again, I'm going to give you some information about other collapses that have happened before we give you the answers, right?
Yeah.
So 10 years ago, Rory McIlroy, as we know, had a 4-shot lead going into the final round. And then by the 10th tee, he was tied for the lead before shooting at 80 on the Sunday to finish tied 15th for the tournament. So that was one of the big collapses. That was 10-year anniversary, that. In the 1961 Masters, Arnold Palmer had a 1-shot lead. And was greenside in the bunker for 2, so up and down for par to win. He knifed his shot through the green next to a TV tower, chipped it back onto the green, and 2-putter for a double bogey to lose by a shot.
Oh my God.
The king done that.
Jesus.
I know. So
in front of his army.
So here's the multiple choice answers. So Curtis Strange gave away a 6-shot lead to Bernard Langer in the 1985 Masters. Was it Scott Hotch gave away a 6-shot lead to Nick Faldo in the 1989 Masters? Or was it C, Greg Norman gave away a 6-shot lead to Nick Faldo in the 1996 Masters?
Well, I'm just going to go on. If you didn't give me the multiple choice, I would have went with Norman. So I'm going to stick with Greg Norman.
Greg Norman giving away a 6-shot lead to Faldo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice, that.
Yeah, yeah, I think...
Come on, let's go for the hat-trick.
I'm 1-0 up on this quiz, remember? So, yeah. You know, this could bring it back, right? So, last question.
Are the other two real scenarios?
No, it's all the same scenario, but it's just one of them's correct.
So
the other two are wrong answers. So, the 11th hole's not 5.31 and the 12th hole's not 3.31.
Yeah, you just made it like...
Made it, so it's all similar, yeah.
3-1, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, clever, aren't I?
Sneaky.
Yeah. You got them right, though.
Yeah.
Last question. There's no information on this one. It's just a straight-out question with 3 answers. What was the original name of the Masters tournament in its first 5 years? Was it A, Augusta National Invitation, B, Augusta in Georgia Championship, or C, the Augusta Open?
The first one.
First one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes. Smashed it. Well yes. Done, lad. Yeah. The Augusta National Invitational.
Yeah.
That was the fit. That
Bell
was the.
To that, you know.
Well done. Back to 1-1. You buzzing. Finally pulled one back. Well whoop, done. Whoop. And that brings us nicely on to the most exciting week of the year.
What are you speaking like this for?
It's excitement. I don't know. I'm losing my mind. Masters preview.
Well, it's not part of the quiz, but there's a question. Do you know when the tradition of giving the green jacket to the winner came in? And do you know who the first recipient was?
No. No idea.
Sam Snead, 1949.
Was it?
Yeah. And do you know why they give a green jacket?
Something to do with the tradition, I imagine.
Yeah, but, well, what? So well, obviously it's a tradition, but it makes sense. What the fuck?
I don't know what happened there. I'm still excited.
Like, so what it is every member of Augusta, like, wears a green jacket so they can be seen in the crowds and by the press, so they know that they're a member. It's prestigious. So then every winner actually becomes a member of Augusta. So then you get your green jacket.
So amazing.
You're a member. And every single champion, as like, you keep your jacket for a year and you bring it back,
yeah,
and it stays out on Augusta. There's only one missing. Do you know where it is? And do you know who's got it?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. I do know, yeah. It's in South Africa somewhere. Gary Player's closet.
Gary Player, yeah. He won it in 1961 and he just keeps forgetting to bring it back.
Did he win any more? You know?
I don't know.
Because I know what... I can imagine what they'd do. They go, well, no, Gary, we can't present you with another green jacket until you bring the other one back, please.
It's great though that he said that. He keeps forgetting, isn't it? I love that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Do you know what I thought would be interesting this week, because obviously Masters, is to just talk about... There's 88 players who are competing in the field this week.
Yeah.
Just to talk about how you get to play in the Masters, because there's all this thing about top 50 in the world, but there's actually other ways to get in. We know, it's invitation only, so there's no qualifying. Well, there is qualifying events.
I reckon we should get a vote going for the Monday qualifier.
A little round, yeah, it'd be so good that, you know. So there's different ways that you can get in. We've spoke there, top 50 in the world. So if you've got in multiple ways, then it doesn't matter. You get the invitation anyway. So
if you're top 50
and you've won a tournament or you've won an Open, it doesn't really matter. So we'll go through all the players who've qualified and the reasons why they've qualified. I thought this would be quite interesting. So top 50 in the world as of the week before the tournament. So anybody in the top 50 that hasn't qualified any other way that we'll mention now gets to play in it as of the end of the tournament last week. So it's interesting, we said Charlie Hoffman hasn't qualified because he never won. If he'd have won that tournament, he'd have qualified.
Ah, right.
Yeah, so it's quite important for players like that to try and, you know.
Yeah.
So Brian Harman, my mate Bobby Mac,
man.
And Will Zalatoris, they're three that have qualified through the top 50. Nice. And not being, wouldn't have qualified any other way. So breaking into the top 50 is sick. One of the reasons. I'm not sure whether this was down to COVID, and because we've had two Masters so close to each other, I couldn't quite work this out, but they've done top 50 in the world as of the end of the previous season. So when the season finished.
That's what would have got you in.
So Christian Benenzenut.
Nice.
Fitzpatrick. Tommy Fleetwood. Matt Kuchar. Victor Perez, Ian Poulter, Justin Rose, Matt Wallace, Lee Westwood, and Bernd Wiesberger.
And that seems like a European rule.
Yeah, it does actually, doesn't it? Did he want American in that? Matt Kuchar, yeah. Then you've got top 30 in the FedEx, so if you make it to the Tour Championships,
you're automatically in.
You're in the top 30. So Abraham Anser, Cameron Champ, Lanto Griffin, Tyrrell Hatton, Billy Horschel, Mackenzie Hughes, Kevin Kistner, Mark Leishman, Hideki Matsuyama, Sebastian Munoz, Joaquin Neiman, Ryan Palmer, and Brendan Todd.
They all got in that way.
Top 30, yeah. So if you were top 30 in the FedEx, but for one reason or another outside the top 50.
So there's a lot more riding on it to get into that East League than just getting into the Tour Championships. So you get a spot in the Masters as well.
If you're floating around 45th, 46th in the world.
Is that new?
Well, since we've started this podcast, it's been like that.
Jesus.
I've not looked any further back, yeah. This is an interesting one. Top 12, including ties from the previous Masters tournament.
Mad.
So if you finish in the top 12 and you've not... outside the top 50 in the world, you've not won any other tournaments, but you got into the Masters and you finished top 12.
You get back in.
You get back in the following year, yeah. So
you could just keep coming 12th in the Masters and keep playing.
Yeah.
Even though you haven't got your tour card.
Yeah. CT Pan. I'm not sure whether CT Pan's in the top 50 in the world. I don't think he is.
No.
Or I don't think he's won a tournament. So I think the only reason he's playing, and you can fact check this, but he's playing this year, is because he finished top 12 last year.
Ah, right.
In November.
November.
That list includes Corey Connors, who we know only got in the Masters because he won the Houston Open the Texas Open last year after Monday qualifiers.
Sickest.
Unbelievable. Dylan Fratelli, Sungji Im.
Dylan Fratelli had a stormer at the Masters last year. November with the 47-inch driver.
Yeah, he did.
Longest hitter of the week as well.
Yeah, I think he had a... Where did he finish? I think he finished top...
He must have finished top 12, wasn't he?
Well, top 12, obviously, but where has he actually finished?
12, I think.
Brilliant. Yeah, John Rahm and Cameron Smith. So again, John Rahm, he would have qualified because he's top 50 in the world anyway, but...
Isn't Cameron Smith top 50 in the world?
Yeah, Cameron Smith's top 50 in the world, yeah. Winner of a PGA Tour event... From the week after the Masters, so that's usually the RBC Heritage right up to the which would have been the Texas Open last week. So if you win any tournament between then from the date the Masters finishes up to the beginning. Obviously, it's different this year, but in normal years, from the middle of April to the end of March, any tournament that you win on the PGA Tour,
you get an invite.
So that's nice. Obviously Hudson Swafford got in that way. So,
well, that's one of our fact checks from last week done there that we forgot to do.
There
is
you go.
Hudson Swafford in the Masters? Yeah. Yes, he is.
Brilliant. Kill two birds, one stone type
Lovely.
Of thing. Daniel Berger, Patrick Cantlay, Stuart Sink, Brian Gay, Jim Herman, Max Homer, Victor Hovland, Matt Jones, Siwoo Kim, Jason Cochrach, Martin Laird, Kevin Na, Carlos Ortiz, Xander Schauffele, Robert Streb, Hudson Swafford, we've just mentioned there, and Michael Thompson, all winners on the PGA Tour last year.
Decent.
And then this is an interesting one. Top four, including ties from previous majors.
That year?
Yeah. So, you
four
could...
Four from the British Open, you're getting the Masters.
I was just going to say, you can try and qualify for the Open because you play off... Well, you got to be off scratch, haven't you?
Yeah.
Scratch. You could get down to scratch, you could turn pro, qualify for the Open, finish top four, play in the Masters next year.
What? Can't wait to do that.
Yeah, so top four, including ties from previous majors. So that list is Harris English, Louis Oosthuizen, Matthew Wolff, Paul Casey, Jason Day, Tony Finau, Scotty Scheffler.
Decent.
If you win the Players' Championship, you get a three-year exemption to it.
Lovely.
So over the past couple of years, we've had Rory McIlroy, Webb Simpson.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah, Justin Thomas is under the PGA Championship winners because that trumps that because you get a five-year exemption.
Ah, right.
So PGA Championship winners get a five-year exemption. So Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas and Jimmy Walker. This must be running out soon.
Surely.
Yeah. Open winners, 5 years. You got Shane Lowry, Francesco Molinari, Henrik Stenson. US Open winners... again, five-year exemption. Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Gary Woodlands. And then the last of the list is past champions. You get indefinite lifetime.
Well, you're a member, aren't you? So you can't...
That's it. Yeah, you get a lifetime. So I just thought it'd be good to go through
the
ways.
Yeah, there's a few ways I didn't know that you could... There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, I thought that'd be interesting to go through that and see. So again, we know who the past champions are, so don't need to go through all them, but... your DJs, your Sergio Garcia's, Paddy Reed's.
E.
I know, Paddy Reed.
Do you know, I want another little fact on the Masters. Do you know why all the holes are named after flowers?
No, I've never even thought of that.
No. Because prior to it being a golf course, it was a nursery for the thousands of flowers and plants and trees, and they were imported from all over the world. And they're so important. The organisers try and schedule a tournament, because it's in April, to coincide with the short flowering period of the site's famous azalea plants. That's why it's in April.
Ah, okay. Flower growing season.
Yeah.
There's always sorts of traditions around August, isn't there?
And the official cocktail is the azalea, and apologies that
I was just what am I doing sitting here with no azalea cocktail
next week
we need to celebrate.
It was Easter, man. I've been running around and golf's back, my head's gone.
It's been a difficult week, hasn't it, trying to get everything together, difficult. Playing golf every day.
I know.
Interestingly, do you know how many rookies there were in November's tournament?
No.
23.
Oh yeah,
I don't know whether that's a large number compared. It seems large. That's, in comparison.
If there's only 88 players and 23 of them have never played before, that seems massive.
That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
The field.
Yeah, good maths. Do you know how many there are this year?
20-odd.
Five? Yeah, five. Two of them are amateurs, which we'll come on to in a minute. I've got a little segment on the amateurs that are playing, Joe Long and Charles Osborne. But the pros... Bobby McIntyre, Will Zalatoris, they earn their place after breaking into the top 50 we just mentioned.
Yeah.
And Carlos Ortiz, he had the emotional victory at the 2020 Houston Open, didn't he? The first Mexican to win a PGA Tour event in over 42 years.
Sick guy.
Yeah, so those three are playing for the first time, but everybody else has been there, done it.
Nice. Speaking of being there, done it, right, did you see Poulter on the putting green when he's putting from... And he's like, this is what 13 on the stint meter looks like. And he's literally tapping these putts.
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, you want to see? Like, he's tapping it. And
fast.
It's going, and it just keeps going.
Like. And is that what they're going to be this week?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be... I don't like it, though.
I love it.
What, you don't want to see four putts in that, do you? Like,
yes, you do.
Okay, well, I can't wait then.
What I love about it is how creative. Obviously, I'm a short game like nerd. I love everything about chipping and putting, only because it's the only thing I can do good with the game. I just love the imagination. Some of the shots, like Tiger's chipping on 16. You know, do we need to go any further than that?
No, I know.
It's just unbelievable, like how fast. If the greens aren't that fast, that chip doesn't go in my opinion.
No,
so, it really is. It really, really is something that we look forward to. Just touching on the amateurs. Tyler Strafacy, one that you mentioned on You Want to Watch.
Yeah,
he's back after winning after beating Charles Osborne in the 2020 US Amateur. He's also going to be playing in the Walker Cup in May.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because on this thing he said that he's not turning pro till he gets to the 2021 Walker Cup.
Yeah, so he's gonna play that. So. Be a nice little way to end his career as an amateur before he does so. But it'd be interesting to see how he gets on, because in addition to winning the US Amateur, he's won the 2020 North South Amateur and the Palmetto Amateur as well this year. So
he's a boy, isn't he?
Knows what he's doing. And then just quickly, the other two amateurs, there's one English lad, Joe Long.
I've seen he was in the England squad, the World Cup squad.
Yeah, he won the British Amateur Royal Birkdale. And he's had top 10s, the South American, South African and African amateurs, and was a quarter finalist in the English men's amateur. So another one who knows what he's doing around the amateur scene. And then Charles Osborne, we've just mentioned.
It's a different ball game when you go into Augusta.
Yeah.
So, remember, was it Ogletree, was it? We played with Tiger or John Augustine, one of them. And then he was chopping it around. And then, and then he brought it back and made the cut.
Won the silver medal, yeah.
There you go.
And then you got Charles Osborne there, the last amateur. There's only three of them playing.
Any
relation
to Aussie?
So he's actually started with a 77 in the US amateur and then carded a 64 before making it all the way to the
final. Well, Liam actually messaged in last week saying when we were talking about the way the match play was done, like the way the thing goes done, it's a two, like the British amateur and the US amateur, it's like it's a two round stroke play, is it, and then they go into the knockouts.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how you get the best players in the world, like going and
get
and
to play, yeah.
That,
you know, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So. Exactly. So it just shows you if he's straight into match play there. If you shoot a 77 at the US Amateur, you're gone. You're out.
Exactly so.
And now he's gone all the way. Do you know where he was in the world when he entered that amateur event? Number?
No.
463rd.
Fucking hell.
In the world.
And he's won it.
And he's runner-up, got beat in the final.
Runner-up, sorry, yeah.
But he gets that. So.
Belter.
It is that. I'm so looking forward to it. It's just
but
the best.
I've just got a few things like. It's so mad, isn't it? Because obviously you've got anyone can win it, really, can't they? But you've got Rory and DJ that I could find a bit of form if they've been working on things.
Well, Pete Cowan's had Rory, hasn't he?
Exactly. And then DJ has obviously been working on things. He pulled out.
Testing the driver a lot, yeah.
So Bryson's chilled it all down a bit.
Yeah.
Learned how to control it. Could come out and monster it.
Yeah.
JT won the players. Could come out and monster it. Like.
Brooks Koepka's just got engaged.
Could miss the cut.
John Rahm's just had a baby.
Yeah, could miss the cut as well. But Spieth won last week, could come out and.
Yeah.
Like, there's every excited about everyone.
Yeah.
Morikawa, I think last time he teed it up, he won.
Yeah.
In the WGC. Like, you've just got all the best players in the world. That you can't rule any of them out.
There's so much talent there. Like, it's unbelievable what's going on in the game today. Just even looking at the English players, you know, Matthew Fitzpatrick,
Wallace
turned up last week.
Tommy
unlucky at the match play. He should have been Torshall. Westwood's flying.
Yeah,
Poulter, look what he done at the WGC. Just took Rory to the cleaners.
Exactly.
You know,
and then you've got like your Billy Horschels and your Scotty Schefflers who are flying in events and like. Obviously, Tony Fino didn't have a good showing this week. Oh, he's gone off the boil a bit, but he's had a load of seconds. He, like Sir Augusta Dunne when he broke his ankle and shot the lights out.
And then you've got your past winners who know how to win there. Sergio Garcia.
Yeah.
Getting hole in ones to beat Westwood in playoffs in the WGC, playing really well anyway.
Bubba could come from nowhere, do you know what I mean? Like,
Bubba's two-time winner. Louis Eustazen, always there or thereabouts,
great.
playing well.
It's just great, isn't it?
You know what I mean? And then you've got the likes of your Harris English, Hudson Swafford, who are from that area, went to Georgia Tech. so they know that it's like their home course, really. They used to play in that type of...
Big Justin Parsons' head's going to be wrecked on the range, isn't it? Got that many players playing in it. His whole stable's there, isn't it?
Yeah, apart from... Woodland's there.
Brian Harman.
He's not again. Brian Harman, Harris English.
Louis Eustazen,
yeah. It's only Kazia who's not there, I think.
Yeah.
And a few others. And Michael Thompson's there as well. Has he got Michael Thompson?
He's got him, yeah.
Yeah, he's got Michael Thompson, yeah. Michael.
So it's a busy week for him.
Very busy, yeah.
You need next week off.
Definitely, yeah. So I just know that we're in for a treat again.
Of course, yeah. Like it's always a treat, isn't it? Do you know what? I've actually, do you know what, a nightmare for me? I've booked in a society day on Sunday. I have to play that, come back, and obviously it doesn't start till 6 on the coverage, but so I will be back. But
yeah, you've got a big event.
I forgot
you?
All about it.
Did you? When you booked
just
it?
Like,
I thought
event.
That when you booked it, I was like, that's Master Sunday. That, you know,
I don't know what happened there. I don't know what happened, but it should be a bit of crack anyway.
Yeah, we'll get the Masters on all week and we'll watch it all and we'll have a good few beers, a good laugh.
Definitely.
Get a good few bets on, try
we
and win
that. We
need
to get that contract back out, don't we, for the birds?
I was thinking that today, you know, I was
Staple
thinking that
to
today.
The I feel like you kicked off over it, you know.
I know, I remember you saying, yeah,
sick
brilliant.
That.
Let's get that out
I'll
and get that posted.
I'll actually print it off this time, go even further, leave it around the house.
Right then, the only thing that's left to do is...
Picks.
Let's have your picks, yeah.
So I'm going for him, Big Bryce.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why? Just...
Just because I think he's chilled it out. I think his composure, I think his putting, I think his wedge play's improved, I think his temperament's improved. I just think he's won. I think,
recently, yeah, he's comfortable
in
his own swing.
He's got the monster in him, and he's got the shorter one.
Yeah, he's comfortable in his own swing at the minute, and he's playing
he's
really well.
He's still a week off and that. I just, yeah, but yeah.
You fancy him, yeah?
Yeah, man.
I've gone Matthew Fitzpatrick.
For pot one?
Yeah.
Who?
I know,
and
mad
it's
one.
A direct straightener with Bryson.
I was going to say, yeah, like me and you. He's made the cut in 5 of his last 6 appearances at Augusta.
Yeah.
His best finish was tied 7th in 2016. That's not got nothing to do with whatever's going on, but and he's a 6-time winner on the European Tour. So I just think over the last couple of weeks he's had a
and
good
his
putter
can be hot, can't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know. There was just something about me. I was just thinking, like, my first 2 picks are both English lads, and I just thought in my head, like, I don't know why, but every so often you get, like, a European winner, don't you? Like, Sergio won, Danny Willett won.
Danny Willett, yeah.
There's just something about me that's got a feeling.
It's going to be European.
There's going to be a European winner, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Buzzing.
Pot 2.
Mark Leishman.
Yeah, knows how to get it round.
Knows
then,
how
Mark.
To get it round. He's up
been
there about
years, hasn't he?
Loves grass.
He can't play in his bare feet though, can he? That's
no,
the problem.
But, I know, I just seen him, he stood out to me and I thought, yeah, he's got it in there.
Yeah, Mark Leishman. Yeah. I've got Matt Wallace.
That was my other one. I was going to pick Matt Wallace.
Was you going to pick him? Yeah.
Just
think
he's done well this week.
Yeah, after last week's performance, he's obviously swinging it well. This is only his 3rd appearance and he's not really done well in the past, so can't go off previous form. He's had 1 missed cut and finished tied 47th. And he's a 4-time winner on the European Tour.
Yeah,
so
no, definitely.
I just think that win in America is only around the corner. Again, I just think there's something...
No, definitely. Can't bet against it, can you, really? If they've won before, they know what to do, and they're good players. My pot 3 is Christian Benzedenhout.
Okay, yeah.
He can turn it on, can't he? And
his putter can be red hot. If his putter's working around there, then yeah, he's gonna contend.
Yeah.
He's a quality player. I've gone for Phil Mickelson, rolling back the years. I've gone for Philly Mick, yeah. He just loves it round there, doesn't he?
Philly Mick?
Yeah. Philly Mick and Bobby. I just,
Benzie.
3-time winner. But something interesting that I've seen, he's also had 15 top 10s and 11 top 5s at Augusta.
Yeah, well,
last couple of weeks he's been making cuts, and I know we went through that spell where he was shooting 80s and 10 overs and he was missing cuts, but I think that's behind him now, and he's going back to not back to contending and winning, but if he starts swinging it well, he knows how to get round there, knows where to miss, knows what he's doing. So I'm just going to take a punt of Phil this week.
Take away. You know who my pot 4 is, don't you?
Same as mine, probably.
Hudson Swafford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope he's...
The legend himself.
Oh, the legend, man.
Yeah. He went to college in Georgia, and he mentioned on our podcast, didn't he? Like, this is the one tournament he always wanted, and it's his second go at it. Now, first time, you're probably thinking, like when we have these people on the podcasts, the pros who talk about when they first make it at the Open, they're just in awe of the place. It's like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be here.
Experience more than playing.
I feel like Hudson's got that out the way. He had a good turnout, didn't he, a couple of weeks back, finishing tied sixth at the Punta Carla Corrales. So yeah, I just think we'll just take a cut, mate.
I think as long as he's playing, he's going to be in my pop four, to be honest.
Yeah,
I'm saying. I think I turned me back on him a few weeks ago, didn't I?
You did, actually, yeah, you traitor.
And I think my pop four actually done well that week. Head over heart. Heart over head, whatever you call it.
It's a good song, man. Yeah, so no good picks. Good picks. Yeah. I'm just excited to get it on now.
Speaking of good picks, I mean, bad picks. All four of my players missed the cut last week.
Did they?
Yeah.
I haven't calculated it yet. I have no idea what even. Yeah. I know Scotty Scheffler made the cut for me.
Yeah, Tony Finau, missed cuts. Can't even remember the rest of them. All missed cuts. All missed cuts.
I could potentially take it. I know I had, what was his name? The one that you said I stuttered or a glitch? Hickok.
No, Hickok, yeah.
Yeah, I had Kramer Hickok. He missed the cut. Battier missed the cut. And Scotty Scheffler made the cut on the button. And then I can't remember who my final pick was.
I've just deleted them out of there as well, so I can't even see them.
No, I can't remember now. We'll be giving an update on the pots. That's going out, and then the pot picks for the Masters are going to go out tomorrow, and then I'm pretty sure everyone's going to get involved in this one.
Well, and it's the we'll put the bank details on the thing, and we're going to do the £20 for the winner gets a prize of driver or a rescue or whatever they want.
Yeah, we will. We'll do that. We'll have to sort that out and get that sent out.
So if anyone wants in, give us a message on the socials and we'll get you in. It'll be £20 entrance, and the person who gets the most points for that week, for this week, the Masters, it will win.
Yeah, it will.
So you're getting a bit more than bragging rights for your picks this week.
Yeah, you're getting cash money.
And anyone who's a listener but they're not actually in the Bogey Boys League, we're going to run a separate side pot as well, so they can pay £20 and get it. That's first time you're in. The only reason I'm saying it's because Ryan was like, well, I want to go. And I was like, oh, we have no, a separate pot. So
let's do it.
We'll see if there's enough interest.
We'll do it. Yeah. If you're interested, let us know. Yeah, and we'll definitely put something on you.
So,
but no, I know it's just
get
this
busy
is
on
the week.
The socials this week.
What?
We'll get busy on the socials.
Oh, this is the busiest week. Yeah, this is the busiest week that you can get.
Yeah, mum.
The Masters Championship. Really looking forward to it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the golf. And looking forward to playing my first tournament on Wednesday.
Buzzing.
Let you know how we get on. 4.6 I am, so it could be creeping up to.
Will you get 6 shots, I reckon?
6 shots?
I think so, yeah.
Because the slope rating, yeah. Okay. I do actually off the yellows. I get 6, Interesting. So try and get that down
to
4.
Brother, good luck. Well, we'll go to the range tomorrow. We'll get a few videos on the socials as well, innit?
Yeah, we'll do Bryson Challenge Part 2, and then we'll report back next week. But everyone, just enjoy your golf as always. If you want to take advantage of some of the discounts we've got on offer, to the links in our bio. You know the drill now. You know what discounts you're getting. And again, if you want to message us for any advice or any tips on anything that the products that we're using at the moment, feel free to just slide into our DMs.
Yeah, and all of our professional routes that we've been doing, as we've been doing them, we release them week by week, but they're all on Patreon as well. So if you want to become a Patreon member, that's
Early access to all that.
Yeah, it's £4 a month, which is £1 a week, isn't it? So
yeah, can't even get a pint for that these days.
No, you can't get a pint anyway.
But yeah, no, it's been great catching up with you again. Brilliant. And loving it as always.
Yeah, man.
Best week of the year. Can't wait. Everyone, enjoy your golf, and we'll catch you next week.
Ciao.
Thank you.